and fix it.
Well, good evening and welcome back, and may I again offer my gratitude that you have asked me to be a part of your work here for a few days and for your very hospitable reception of us today. So, for a few days, we're talking about who will follow Jesus. There is the call to leave selfish living and to follow Jesus Christ. For instance, in Matthew chapter 16, and in verse 24, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There are many in this audience who have responded to this invitation, and your intention is to continue to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You are identified as His follower by your response to Him and your continued faithfulness to Him. You heard God's Word, you were convicted of your sin, believing in Jesus Christ, you repented and you were baptized to live the rest of your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. We are anxious to commend you for those good choices and to encourage you from God's Word to persevere, to grow, to excel in all your discipleship. Here's the question for tonight. Once you are baptized and you start living as a follower of Jesus Christ, the question may come up, and it may be expressed in this way: do you have to go to church? In fact, it may be expressed with a particular tone of voice: do I have to go to church? Does Jesus have a church? Is the local church essential? Now, here's the question. What does Jesus say about all that? That's what you have to target. What does Jesus say about that? Concerning anything about following Jesus Christ, all questions must be taken to Him, and we must be willing to listen to His answers and then live accordingly. How thankful we are Jesus sent us a text message longer than 140 characters. We have 27 books bound together in the New Testament. 27 books. And in following Jesus, therefore, we don't have to guess. We don't have to confer with a conference or a committee of men. We don't have to become students of academic theology. We don't have to make it up as we go along. We open the New Testament of Jesus Christ and all questions go to Him. I want you to be ready with me in Matthew chapter 16 this evening. Matthew chapter 16. There is today an actual popular trend that circulates in our culture outside of our group. There is an actual popular trend that circulates, and it's this whole business of negativity toward anything to do with the church. You'll hear people say, I'm a Christian, and I love Jesus Christ, but I don't do church. Now, whatever might be said about the way that is expressed, this is a common plea of our culture. There are dozens of YouTube videos that make this plea. It is a common appeal of our culture. It is visible on social media almost every day. It is fashionable to say, I'm going to embrace Jesus Christ and I love Him and I'm going to put all those graphics on my social media, but then to reject any suggestion of a group or a church or participation with other people who are Christians. I know people who grew up with parents who were devoted to Christ, zealous members of a good local church, but who now still claim to be Christians, but have zero involvement in a local church. Attendance at a scriptural worship assembly is just not on their radar or in their weekly planning. But if you ask them, are you still a Christian? Be ready to hear a strong defensive answer. Yes, I am. Of course I am. I'm still a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, what about His church? What about local church involvement? Oh, I don't do that anymore. I've decided that that isn't necessary. And sometimes this kind of a plea is accompanied by a claim of superiority. I've learned better than previous backward generations. I've studied, and I'm wise now, and all that stuff that my parents and grandparents did about the local church and all of that, well, I'm just above all that. I'm smarter than all that. Now, have you figured out what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to go straight at that. I'm going to go straight at that. We're going to let Jesus answer. Jesus, do you have a church? I'm in Matthew 16, and I'm at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, how are we doing so far? Our question is to Jesus. If we were to interview Jesus, Jesus, do you have a church? Everybody around here says that church is not necessary, and we can be Christians without any consideration for that. Jesus, do you have a church? And here it says that before He died, He said, I will build My church. Now, if Jesus said, I will build My church, then the next question is, did He do that? And everything after this passage in the New Testament says He did. May I give you one example? In Ephesians 1:22, Paul said that Jesus is head over all things to the church. May I give you another example? In 1 Timothy 3:15, there is the church of the living God. Everything after the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 16 confirms He did what He said. Read what He said He would do in Matthew 16, 13 to 18, and then, I often say to people this, just keep reading. A lot of people make a mistake and they'll read something in the Bible and they'll just park right there. And they'll draw their conclusions and make their observations and engage in their speculation and intrude upon the text their ideas. When really what you need to do when you come to something like this is just keep reading. And here, on toward Acts 2, where people were told to repent and be baptized, and they were added to the church, and just keep reading, and you come to Ephesians 1:22 and 1 Timothy 3:15. So, if we interview Jesus using His text message, we say, Jesus, do you have a church? And He answers in this text message, and He says, yes, I do. He only needed three words. Now, that brings us to this. Can you be a follower of Jesus Christ and just take everything we've read and studied and just shove it out? Can you be a follower of Jesus Christ and just ignore what He said? There is a universal church composed of every true follower of Christ. I mean people who live under His authority with respect to everything He said. Not just people who say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't do church. I'm talking about people who live under His authority and respect everything that He said about everything. They compose the universal church. I realize there are people who acknowledge and may be committed to Jesus' moral teaching in some respect, perhaps selectively, and on that basis call themselves Christians. I'm aware there are massive numbers of denominational varieties. But what I'm talking about when I say followers of Christ is people who follow and respect everything that Jesus said about everything. Jesus has His church. I cannot claim to follow Him while just sweeping all of this aside because it seems to be inconvenient and unpopular and it takes time to drive there on Sunday. I can't do that and be faithful to the Lord. But I think now you realize we may have another question. The argument is often made, I'm going to state the way the argument is made. The argument is often made, yes, I know that Jesus has a universal church, and I know it's composed of His followers, and I'm a member, I'm one of His followers, I'm in that universal church, but I just don't like local churches. Just don't like local churches. There are people there I don't like, and back in 1974, there was a guy who made me mad. They have imperfect people. They want me to come to services. They want me to participate and do things. I'm busy. I don't like these groups. I always have things to be critical about every time I go into a local church. I can spot it. So, I'm going to be a Christian at large, with good standing in the universal church, but no local church for me. That's the argument. Occasionally, somebody will say, I'll attend a community church or a denomination just to get a little taste of it, maybe even a local church of Christ on Christmas and Easter. Do you realize I'm not making this up? I'm not making this up. This is what people say. This is how people think. Resistance to the concept of participation and membership and involvement in a local church that's following Christ. Now, what do we do with that? The same thing we did with the other questions. We ask Jesus. Now, I hope we've all decided already we're going to accept His answer. He's Jesus. We're going to accept His answer. Would you turn with me, please, to Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Just a few pages beyond where we were. We're going to be in Matthew 18, 15 through 17. If your brother sins against you, go and get on Facebook and tell everybody. No. Wanted to see if you were still awake. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two other along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, you know what that goes to? It goes to something I mentioned a moment ago. local churches are occupied by imperfect people. And when imperfect people occupy the same space and form a relationship one with another, it is possible for there to be an offense, a conflict, or sin. We teach and hope not. We try to embed in our hearts the attitudes taught by Jesus Christ. So we hope and we teach that we are not going to make wrong choices. But it sometimes happens. Now, when it happens, this is the conflict resolution method of Jesus Christ in Matthew 18, 15 to 17. And tonight, we're not going to unpack all of that right now. Preachers and teachers at this place have done that before, I know, and will do it later, I'm certain. Right now, remember, we are asking Jesus, Jesus, did you ever contemplate the existence of local churches composed of people who follow you? Well, you can see that He did. You can see in this text message, He did. He assumes His followers will be together. Would that be correct? He assumes His followers will be together in a local church where this conflict resolution method can be faithfully applied when necessary. But let's probe further into the will of Jesus. And let's raise an additional question along with that one. Jesus, did you intend that after the church was established, Christians should form local churches? We are reading our answers this evening from the New Testament. The New Testament of Jesus Christ. Now, what about these writings in the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They tell us about who Jesus is. Acts tells us about the work of His apostles, preaching the gospel and helping people understand what they need to do to become Christians and to be Christians in their journey toward heaven. What else do you find in the composition of the New Testament? Letters to local churches. Here's what I do sometimes with people. People who make all these arguments against the existence and the value of the local church. I say to people sometimes, open your New Testament, and they say, where to? And I say, the table of contents. And they wonder, well, what is that about? And I say, okay, read to me from the table of contents. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and I stop them. Who was that to? It was to the church in Rome. Okay, keep going. First and second, Corinthians. Who was that to? The church in Corinth. And then we hit the churches in Galatia and Ephesus and Philippi. You see what I'm saying? Paul to the church at Rome. Paul to the church at Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi. The churches in Galatia. Then I take them over to the book of Revelation, if they're still hanging in with me. And we go to the book of Revelation, and John writes what Jesus showed him to write to the seven churches in Asia. Now, what's Jesus telling us? What is He telling us? Did you hear Jesus saying that all this church business is irrelevant? Did you hear anything about denominational affiliation? Did you hear Jesus say, well, just be a Christian at large? He said, I will build My church. And then He said, through the apostles, Christians are to be engaged with one another under the authority of Christ in sound local churches. Now, we have one more place to go. Can we ask Jesus one more question? When people want to be followers of Christ at large, without connection to other Christians, no assemblies, when the local church is ignored, when this bulk of the New Testament about local churches is just pushed away, what are the losses for those individuals who have shunned everything we've studied? What are the losses? I'm going to give you one example. When Jesus was still here, He established the Lord's Supper to memorialize His death. Is that important? You read about that in Matthew 26:17-30. He said, "This do in remembrance of Me." And then after the church was established in Acts 20:7, the disciples, the followers of Christ, on the first day of the week, gathered to take the Lord's Supper. Can you just move all that aside and be faithful to the Lord? What if we ask Jesus this question? Jesus, do You want us to observe the Lord's Supper with other Christians? Or just set that aside? What do you think? Well, you know what His answer would be. As a follower of Christ, Jesus leads me to His universal body. He leads me in association with other Christians who are living under His authority to do things like partake of the Lord's Supper. It is one thing to say that you love Jesus, to say that you like some of the things He said, to call His name over your identity in your life. Yes, I'm a follower of Christ. It's another thing to let Him lead you into everything that He said that He intends His followers to do. You may hear talk of autonomous Christianity, or isolated Christianity, or private Christianity, but you will not find it in this book. It never works, because our spiritual life was designed by God not only to be connected with Him through Christ, but to be connected to each other. In every way, the Lord said we ought to be connected to each other. Now, perhaps I'm preaching mostly to people who have long ago acknowledged what Jesus said about His church and about local churches. I strongly suspect that I'm delivering this to a friendly audience. But I tell you, there's need for this clarity for each of us and for the next generation. And there is a great need for us to be able to respond to people who have adopted isolated Christianity. And should anyone here have doubts about what the Lord requires of His followers, we hope that we have helped you see the truth of Scripture. Should you need to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight to become a Christian, confess your sin, or be identified with this group, we give you this opportunity while we stand together to sing.
Why is this so difficult?